Good morning, good morning. How's everybody doing again? Okay, let's do it better than that. How's everybody doing? There you go. Come on. You guys are great. You know, before we begin today, we are continuing a series called Love Dates and Heartbreaks. And today we're going to be talking about dating with a purpose. We'll be talking to singles, those in relationships, and there'll be a little something in there for those who are married as well. But before we do that, you know, faith is an interesting thing. Faith does not deny what we see, but it believes in a God despite what we see. Can you say amen to that? And we cannot deny what we see around the world, in our country, and even in our own community. All of us are aware of this thing, this pandemic called the coronavirus, this COVID-19. It has put a real fear into a lot of people over the last few weeks. Over the last 30 days, we have seen, literally, we've seen the stock market crumble. Many of you guys have lost a lot of money in your retirement, your 401ks. This is not just a joke. It's literally destroying the economy over the last month. The grocery aisles have no toilet paper. People are fighting over toilet paper. Literally fighting. All major sports nationally and locally have been suspended. Schools are closed. And all the parents said, oh no. And the question that begs to be answered is, what are the people of God doing? Are we getting caught up in fear, chaos theory, doomsday scenarios? Are we fighting amongst ourselves and others about the political realities of all of this? Some want to do that, make this all about politics, whether you agree or disagree with what's going on. But as a people of God, we've got to lead through it, in the midst of it. Who knows? Maybe we are here for such a time as this. That means that we have to start leading, number one, in our own families. One of the things that we've done, if you've got smaller kids or kids in middle school or high school, we have put on our Go Kids Facebook page an article to help you to articulate as a person of faith what this means in the world to your kids. How do you teach them through this? How do you bring hope to them? How do you give them the faith that God is still in control when everything around them seems like it's falling apart? Now, we have to have really three things during this time. We have to have faith, compassion, and wisdom. Faith, compassion, and wisdom. We have faith by believing that our God is bigger than all of this. Right? He is the one who started it all. Everything is His. He has all power, all authority. We cannot forget that. We also have to have compassion, because there's a lot of people that may not see this exactly like you see it. There's a lot of people in this church that are very scared to death. When they see that there's chaos in the street, so to speak, some people are frightened by that. We cannot laugh it off. There's a man in an airplane yesterday who made a joke that he had the coronavirus, and it stopped the plane from going off for 8 hours. So you may think some of these things are funny, but there's a big chunk of society that does not think it's funny. So we have to have compassion. Scientists have said that older people are more susceptible. We need to have compassion. Not to mean that none of us are above or immune to it, or that it couldn't take us out. But we have to have compassion. Maybe we need to check on people. They're a little more susceptible. Our older population is worried about coming out. Maybe we need to check on them. Check and see if they do have toilet paper. They need us to spare a square. Check on people to see if they're doing okay. And lastly, we need to have wisdom. You know, we do the little fist bumping thing and think that's funny, but there's some reality of, you know, we just don't walk blindly into things that a little wisdom could help. And here at Bethel, we're no different. We do have a plan here at Bethel. We have a level 1, 2, and 3 plan. And, And part of what you're seeing today is a part of that. Just let's fist bump instead of touching fingers. Somehow knuckles don't get as many germs as fingertips do. I don't know. And collecting our tithe at the back of the room. Also, a great way. We don't know how this is going to go. If it's going to get worse, we have no idea. Giving online is a great idea if you've never done that before. And also, we have different levels. In certain nations, we know that like in France and Spain and Italy, literally they're saying, don't go out in the street. Have you seen that? Say yes. They're saying you cannot go out unless you got to go to work or go to the store, but stay inside. That is not here yet, and we don't know if it will be here. But we've got certain things that we are taking as protocol if it gets to that point. Maybe it's more of an online presence. I don't know. But right now, that's not mandated here, so that's not what we're doing. Other churches are closed, and that's wisdom for them, and it's wisdom for us. There's no mandate that says we can't meet. Somebody says amen. Amen. So we will continue to do this. Whether you want to stay inside and watch online or come here and be with us, we're going to do both until we have to make another decision. And also, many of you might have known that our nation is in a national day of prayer today. President Trump, whether you like him or not, he's our president. He is calling upon our nation to be in prayer today. That's our cue to say, stand up and say, here we are. We are going to pray. One of the things we have for you is a little prayer strategy. If you don't have one of these with you, you can pick one up on the way out. But this is just a simple way for us to pray for our nation, to pray for our world, and to pray for our community. It talks about praying and giving strength for those in the medical industry, those medical providers, those people who are making split-second decisions, all the hospitals that are being inundated. There are many reports I've read that said hospitals may not be able to accommodate all the cases of this stuff that goes around in weeks to come, if it grows and grows. They need prayer. We also need to be praying for our leaders nationally and locally as they make decisions. It may affect all of us. They need wisdom. Who better to pray that the God of all wisdom give wisdom to these leaders beside the people of God? We also need to be praying for those that are most vulnerable. Those that have a weakened immune system, those that are older. We need to be praying that God would protect them. We also have to pray that fear wouldn't be the biggest pandemic. Because even though it's here, fear has circled the globe and it's everywhere. You don't have to go too far from seeing people that are literally scared. They don't know what to do. Even inside the house of God, there's people who are afraid. We need to pray. Fear is a liar. Somebody say amen to that. And lastly, we need to be praying for healing if anybody is infected, but also reconciliation during this time, that God would use the people of God, that the name of Jesus would be magnified, that people would be crying out to Him instead of a government that might be broken. Somebody say amen to that. So we're going to pray briefly and we're going to get into our message. Father, we thank You for today. And we thank You, Lord, that You are in control. We thank You that we live in a world that has no solution to this problem. No answer to this problem. No vaccine. But God, You are the answer. We ask for You to shield our community. As of now, we see no outbreak in Montgomery County. God, we pray You would shield us. Those who have been infected, that You would heal them. And God, we pray for wisdom. We pray that cooler heads would prevail in our community, God. There'd be no outbreaks of violence, no craziness or chaos that would go on in our communities, God. We thank You for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let everybody say amen. Amen, amen, guys. You ready for love breaks and heartbreaks? Come on. Now, again, this message today, it's going to be for the singles. So if you are your holy status is single, if your legal status is single, this is going to be for you. And if you're dating, this is for you. And if you're married, some of this might apply to you. If you have children that are old enough to begin dating or adult children, this is something you want to listen to. If you're between 16 and 95, you want to listen to this today. Because there's a lot that the Word of God has to say about relationships. Can somebody say amen? I will let you know that the goal of this series is not to get married. A lot of times in church we highlight marriage, but that is not the goal of this series. The goal in life is not to one day get married. Some people will highlight that and think that's the goal in life, and then those who are in marriage are like, no, that is not your goal. Please don't make that your goal. But I will tell you this, if you are in a relationship, you need to really question if that is your goal, because what are you doing in that thing if you don't have a goal? Can somebody say amen to that? So I want to start off by telling you a story. We have a car on stage. Isn't it beautiful? Anybody like my hoopty wagon? You like that? My jalopy? And a few years ago, Pastor Vince and I asked him to do me a favor. We went to Nashville. Our van broke down. We got five kids. We need a van. Somebody say amen to that. And so it broke down, and so immediately I kicked in action, and I had to get ourselves, our family, a van, and I love to make a deal. Anybody like to make a deal? I mean, I like the adrenaline's pumping. I like the going back and forth. All that excites me. And so I went to the bank, and I got $15,000 in cash, $100 bills. Going, make it rain. And my wife looks at me like I'm crazy and walking around with this kind of money. I'm like, baby, when you put cash in front of somebody, it's hard to say no. So you want to make a deal? Bam! We're going to make a deal. And so I researched. I found what we wanted. This is what we wanted. We found it. The car of our dreams of 2012. Come on now. 2012 Honda Odyssey Touring Elite. Oh, that's the big boy right there. The widescreen flip-down TV with the wireless headphones. It was awesome. It looks like a space shuttle when you're driving. It just lights up everywhere. And so we found one online. It was in Nashville, used car dealership. And so I wanted to go in prepared, have my game strong. And so I brought Vince with me, and I brought Pastor Vince with me because I didn't want to lose my Christianity. I didn't want to forget that I'm a believer. Because I can get in the heat of the battle, so to speak, and, you know, it's cutthroat, it's dog-eat-dog world out there. And so we went in there, and I saw it as soon as we pulled up on the lot, and I was like, man, all right, this is the one. We go in and talk to the guy, and you know how they do. Do you want to take it for a ride? That's what they do. They want to get you emotionally attached before you even get in it, because they know if you're emotionally attached, you're not going to say no, right? You get in there and it starts smelling good. You know, it's not new, but it smells new, and they did a good job. And so we get in there and we're, you know, take it for a spin. Like, I knew it was it before I even got it, but I can't let them know that. And so then we come back, and then the negotiations happen, and he says, well, we really can't do this, and I got to go back and talk to the guy. You know, there is no guy. And they bring, and then they came back out, and I'm like, well, this is what we got. And they're like, well, you know, I don't know if we're going to do it or not, and we can't, it's going to be a big deal. I'm not going to make much money. I'm like, all right, bye, Felicia, right? And they'll hold on, you know, and then we make the deal, right? And it was great. And it dawned on me in the last few weeks how so much of dating and relationships are kind of like the process of buying a car. And I wanted to kind of go over some of those with you. First of all, I didn't go to a car lot to go on a joyride. There's a lot of times people will get in a relationship and they have no point of why they're even there. They just want to have fun. Anybody ever heard of that? I just want to have fun. Just to give you a little, my ledger on why I'm qualified to do this. I was single 70% of my life. Okay. I was married to my wife when I was about 30 years old. Back then, I was married at 30 before being married at 30 was cool. See, back when I was married, or when we were married, it's like everybody was getting married at 22 years old. And you were kind of older if you got married after 30. And after you got past 30, back then, it was like the danger zone. Now everybody's waiting to get married. So you can be 50, 60, 70 years old and get married, and it's okay today. But I spent a lot of time as a single man. And as a believer in God, I spent a lot of times being single. It's hard to be a man of God and be single today. And a lot of times what people do is this is the relationship. They just want to get in it and just see where it takes them. Like, we just want to have fun. There's nothing wrong to have fun. I deserve to have what? A little fun. Right? But, you know what? Having a little fun gets your heart in a lot of trouble, doesn't it? Somehow the heart doesn't understand just having fun. A lot of times the heart wants a lot more than just fun. You know, one of the reasons I brought Vince with me is, as I said, because I can get a little out there in my frustration, but a lot of times it's important. We're going to talk about this a lot later. It's important when you bring somebody with you that knows something about cars or can help you, because you'll be distracted if you try to go and get into a car and you don't have somebody with you, because you're not paying attention to all the things you should be paying attention to. You know, a lot of times when we get involved in a relationship, it's the same kind of thing. We get caught up in emotions. We say, well, you get caught up emotionally in a car. Same things happen in a relationship. Like, oh, look at her eyes. Look at his eyes. Look how tall. Look how she looks. Look at all this. And you get caught up in certain things. Look how funny he is. And you get caught up in all of that stuff. And you're not asking the big questions. And what we see in our world today is a society who is getting it wrong all the time. I want to just give you a little heads up. I Googled this, the best dating sites of 2020. Listen to some of these. Some of you guys are, and it's funny, ironically, Tinder didn't show up on this. If you're on Tinder, I can't say too much about that. But in the top 20, the top 10, Zeusk. Anybody ever heard of Zeusk? Nobody heard it? You heard it? Okay. All right. Elite Singles. Anybody ever heard that? So if you're going to be single, why not be elite? Right, I heard of this one, Match.com. Anybody heard of that one? They got commercials, right? All right, what about Silver Singles? Those over 50. All right. What about, here's one, I've seen this one before on television, Our Time, right? It's my time to shine. All right, everybody's heard of eHarmony, right? These are, oh, this is, then it gets a little nasty. This is Be Naughty. I don't even know what that is, but they made the list. And then just because we're a diverse church, I guess they threw this one on here. This is Ebony Flirt. Ooh. Black Singles, looking for you. All right. See, all of these, and I got a big question. I was looking at this, and I know that dating is a lot different than what it used to be. Like back before I was married, if I wanted to date somebody, I had to actually meet them. Anybody remember that? Mm-hmm. That sounds so foreign now. It's like, really? Right, you had to actually speak to them. Now you can just swipe to the left, swipe to the right, let's hook up here, let's hook up there. There was a saying a long time ago that, you know, how many times do we have to go out before we have sex? That's bad, right? Now the saying is how many times do we have sex before we start a relationship? In our society, it seems like it's just morally decaying, morally going apart. And my big thought about all this is, has this type of dating that the world has adopted as a new normal, has it helped relationships or has it hurt relationships? When you look around, does it help our heart to go from casual relationship to casual relationship when people are not giving specifics about why they're even in it? And what's interesting about a relationship like this is some person might get into it with the intentions of seeing where it's going, to see that it does have a goal. But if you're not checking to see why this person is in it, somebody's going to get hurt. You may take every precaution to do it the right way, but they may not. And if you get in this with them, you're asking for hurt. You're asking for heartbreak. You're asking for a callousness to grow over your heart from having a relationship again and again and again. And it seems chaotic and it seems like it's crazy and it seems like that's what the world has done. It seems like if we go from casual dating to casual dating, then finally maybe we get married, like as if that was the goal, and then our hearts are still callous from all the hurt that we've had before. And we say, well, I'm not happy anymore. We think the goal, remember what the goal is? I just want to have fun. And if that's why we got in the relationship and now we're married and we look at it, I'm not having fun anymore. And maybe it was because we started the whole thing the wrong way. Can somebody say amen? And what happens, there's a lot of problems that take place if we are doing it the wrong way. Hearts get hurt. we waste time, and ultimately, there's three seats here. Can everybody see this? Some of you can see it. There's two, but there should be three, because who else needs to be in the middle of all that? Who? Yeah, Jesus needs to be in the middle of all that. But a lot of times we get in it, we don't like Jesus come with us. We're like, Jesus will be there when we get where we're going. But it's my time. And so we need to take a look at this. You know, there's something to say about old things that are coming back in fashion today. Do you ever notice how clothes from the 80s have miraculously started showing up again? Mm-hmm. If you notice, back in the day, I had a high top. Had a high top fade. It's about that high. Anybody remember Kid and Play? It's all coming back now. And then I got cool, and then I had a ramp in my high top. Then I got a step in it. And if you're really cool, I didn't get the dye in it like some of it. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about, do you? You know what's up? All right. And so that's coming back now, right? Some things that are old are coming back in fashion. And I think some relationship principles that are old need to come back in fashion again. Does that make sense? I had a great opportunity to meet up. I went to the women's singles group. I had my wife's permission. Amen. That would just be a little weird and bad on so many levels. But I got to go and I got to talk to them. I heard some words I had not heard in a long time. And it makes me think why these words are not around anymore. But one of the words that I heard was abstinence. Sounds like a dirty word, doesn't it? Somebody thinks, doesn't know what it means. It's like a virus. I don't want no abstinence on me. You know, abstinence means I'm not going to have sex until I'm married, right? And there's some other words I heard this week. It was a word called courting. Anybody ever heard of that? Mm-hmm. The world doesn't know what that word is anymore. It sounds so outdated. It sounds so outfashioned. It sounds so archaic. Sounds like an old word that old people used to use, but we don't do that now because we have a new way of doing things. We have Tinder. We don't need courting. Courting is a concept of we're going to begin a relationship to see if this is what God wants, and it may end up in marriage. Marriage is not the goal, but the purpose is that we're going to do a God-honoring thing to see if this is the logical outcome, if it goes the way we think God wants it to. And these words have escaped our vernacular, and they are not common anymore. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at something a little bit old. We're going to look at the Word of God. Now, the reason why we're going to look at it is because we will get ourselves in trouble if we don't have a basis for what a relationship should look like. We're going to look over in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. If you could, turn over in the Bible with me. We're going to read this passage of Scripture. It's interesting because there's this guy named the Apostle Paul. His name was Saul, became Paul when he started to follow Christ. And what's really interesting about him is he's single. But he's going to tell us about relationships because the Word of God through him was anointed, and he's going to speak to us today. So we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. In verse 8 it says, "Now to the unmarried and the widows," all the single ladies in other words, right? And all the men. "Now to the unmarried and the widows I say, it is good for them to stay unmarried." Somebody said, one person said amen. He said, "As I do. But if they cannot control themselves," don't raise your hand if you don't have a problem controlling yourself. But there's a purpose in all this. It says, "But if you cannot control yourselves, they should marry. For it is better to marry than to burn with passion." What does that mean? That means that certain things are off limits. That means that casual physical relationships that only end up being physical and sexual are off limits. It's not best. God's not trying to keep us from having fun. He's just saying it's not best. It doesn't honor him. And it's going to do horrible things to your heart. Can somebody say amen? Let's drop down to verse 32. He says, "I would like you to be free from concern." an unmarried man is concerned about the Lord's affairs. Again, this is presuming that these are people that want to follow God, how he can please the Lord. But a married man is concerned about the affairs of this world and how he can please his wife. And all the married men said, amen. And his interests are divided. An unmarried woman or virgin is concerned about the Lord's affairs, and her aim is to be devoted to the Lord in both body and spirit. But a married woman is concerned about the affairs of this world and how she can please her husband. And all the married women said, amen. Four of you, thank you. I bet if I said kids, I'd be like, amen. I am saying this for your own good, not to restrict you, but that you may live in a right way in an undivided devotion to the Lord. So listen to what he's saying. He's not saying that marriage is bad, but we are divided when it comes to serving God when we get married. And that makes sense. Now I've got to check twice before I just get on a plane and go. I need to check twice before I just give a bunch of money away. I have to consider the needs of the other person, which is great. But he's saying, if you're not going to get married, that's even better, because then all of your 100% devotion is to God. And it doesn't mean that those who are married don't feel devoted to God, but they have to split that attention. Does that make sense? Everybody say amen. Verse 36 says, if anyone is worried that he might not be acting honorably towards the virgin he is engaged to, and if his passions are too strong and he feels that he ought to marry, he should also do as he wants. He's saying it's okay to get married. So men, women, it's okay to begin a relationship. Men, it's okay to ask a woman out. And all the single ladies said, amen. We have too much passivity going on in our world today, don't we? Y'all are laughing. We do. They should get married. But the man who has settled the matter in his own mind, who is under no compulsion, but has control over his own will, and who has made up his mind not to marry the virgin, this man also does the right thing. So then, he who marries the virgin does right, but he who does not marry her does better. So think about it like this. There are some people in here that are single for a lot of different reasons. You're single because maybe the last relationship didn't work out. Maybe it ended in a divorce. Maybe you're single today because you chose to. You have been through hurt and heartbreak. Enough is enough. You said, I'm done with all of that. I'm kissing dating goodbye. I don't want to do that anymore. My mom, she was married to my dad for about 10 years. And then when he came back from Vietnam, I was born shortly after that, or a little after that, and after I turned 3 years old, they got divorced. And it wasn't until I was about 11 years old, she met a new man, my stepdad. She got married to him. They were married for 2 years, and then he died. And after that, she said, I'm not going to be married again. I'm just going to be married to Jesus. And the rest of her life, she never dated anybody, and that's okay. Some people are in that situation. Some people are okay with that. Now, there's some people who are single, and they don't want to be single. They are burning with passion. I can remember when I was a single man before I met my wife, and I was like, okay, this is cool, and it was cool. I gave my life to Jesus. All right, just me and you, Jesus. I'm okay. I'm just going to be me, myself, and I, and that's okay. And it was super cool until it wasn't cool anymore. And then it really wasn't cool. Like, Jesus, you're going to have to do something. It's not right. And maybe you've been in that place before where you've been screaming out to Jesus, where is she? Where is he? And that's fine if you're there. That's okay. This is what we're here for today. You know, and some of you are just, you know, you're just open to whatever, but you're not pursuing anything. We're all in these seasons for different reasons and different origins, but we're here today. And so we're going to look at a 3,000-year-old example. A 3,000-year-old example of how a relationship started. And when we read this, you may say, or actually I'm going to paraphrase the whole story. It's in Genesis chapter 24. Maybe you guys have heard of the patriarchs of the Bible. There's Abraham, there's Isaac, and then there's Jacob. We're going to focus on the story of this guy named Isaac. See, Isaac's father's name was Abraham, and he was super, super old. He was about 100 years old, and God said, I'm going to give you a son. And one day, your children, your children's children, all of them, it's going to be more than all the stars in the sky. And so him and his wife, they waited and waited and waited. And then all of a sudden, Isaac comes. And then the promise goes to Isaac. And at this point, Abraham was super old. And his servant was really, really old, in his 90s. And he said, I want you to go and find a servant. So imagine this, 90-year-old, half-blind, half-dead servant goes to find a wife. And he said, the only condition is I need you to go to my people and find a wife for my people. And so he goes off and he's like, okay. And he prays and says, God, show me how to find this woman. And he prays of the woman that I find to be my master's son's wife. She's going to do a certain thing. So he goes and he takes his 10 camels with him. He takes his 10 camels with him. And so he finds this well, and it just happens to be this well and about the time that the women came out to fill up the water jars. And so he's praying. And he says, God, the woman that not only gives me water, but feeds my camels, that's the one you're sending for my master's son. So he's sitting there and he asked one of them that came out first. He said, can you give me water? And so she's like, sure. So she serves him. She gives him water. I want you to think about this for a second. He also has 10 camels that have been traveling that are thirsty. And she says, how about I give your camels water as well? Think about this. Camels are some thirsty jokers. They got big humps and I do not lie, right? Right? I looked this up and it says that a camel can drink 52 gallons of water. So imagine going to the grocery store and you get in the cart and you put one jug of milk in, two jugs of milk. Imagine 50 jugs of milk. Okay, that's a lot of milk. Now do it times 10. So no telling how many hours it took. She didn't know this guy from Adam, and she's filling water, filling the trough up, filling it over and over, probably hour after hour after hour. And he says, that's the one. And so he talks to her, goes back to the parents. They talk, they agree. Okay, she agrees. I'm going to go with him, and I'm going to meet my new husband. And they go, and they come back to their land. And immediately, Isaac sees Rebekah, and Rebekah sees Isaac, and it's love at first sight. And then we get to verse 66. And it says, then the servant told Isaac all that he had done. This is in Isaiah 24, verse 66. Isaiah brought her into the tent of his mother Sarah. And he married Rebekah. And so she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. And so within this, I want to give you five rules for dating. Five rules of dating. Maybe these are for you. Maybe these are for somebody that you know that is single, or maybe somebody that's in a relationship right now. Maybe you have adult children and they need a little guidance. Maybe you're older, maybe you're younger. This is for you today. We're going to give you five rules for dating and relationships. The first one should be very obvious. Have a plan. Why are you in this thing to begin with? If you don't know, or if the answer is, I just want to have fun, wrong answer. Wrong answer gets hearts hurt. Does that make sense? Because what happens sooner or later is you're not going to have fun. So that means that that's going to throw you off. And if that is your goal, you're going to try to outdo every relationship you have and try to have fun. Not every day in a committed married relationship is about fun. And there's a lot of different ways to have fun without getting yourself in a relationship. You can go to the city forum every day of the week without being in a relationship. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right. Number two, know what you don't want. Know what you don't want. So give you an example. If you don't want a weed smoking hippie, don't date one. or if you find out they're a weed-smoking hippie, stop dating them. Makes sense, right? Let's get even more practical. If you don't want to have a relationship with someone who does not have Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, don't date them. But Pastor, they said they go to church. Everybody goes to church every now and then. Not everybody in this building is a Christian. Not everybody that goes to church is born again. Does that make sense? And there's this little thing that sometimes people do called lying. Anybody ever heard of liars? I got a friend, and he used to date this girl, and he lied and said he loved Jesus. I'm not trying to pick on the men, but I'm going to pick on the men. There's a lot of men that will lie, ladies, and tell you everything you wanted to hear. Girl, I love you. You different. You special. There's nobody like you. I love Jesus. But if loving you is wrong, I don't want to be right. Right? They will tell you everything you want to hear, every smooth line to get where they want to be. So how do I know if somebody really has a relationship with Jesus? You can't just ask them. You have to watch them. What are they doing? What are they saying? You know, this might be creepy for you. It might be great wisdom for some. But you might need to bring somebody else in to ask them some questions. Because I want to tell you something. There's been so many times as a pastor, I've talked to many, especially young women, and asked them questions about the man they could not answer. These are women who might love Jesus and really want to have a great relationship. And I ask them very simple, poignant questions that they don't know. And it's because when you get in this relationship, all you're concerned about is, does the radio work? Right? Does it smell good? Right? Does it look good if I do an Instagram pic? And you're not really concerned about the more serious matters. Same thing in a relationship. Our hearts can be so tugged in one direction that we're not thinking about practical things. Y'all know what I'm... Somebody give me a mm-hmm. Because we get in the relationship and we get caught up in those three-hour conversations and talk about nothing. Right? She likes this and I like that. What more do we need? But sometimes you are blinded. Men and women are blinded by the relationship. You can't see the particulars and you might need to bring somebody else in. So I'm just going to make this available. Either you find somebody, maybe you got a dad, maybe dad's not around, maybe it's somebody else. You can come to your pastor. I'll ask him the hard questions. Okay? I'll ask him the hard because I don't care. They may not be around when I'm done. But I'm going to ask them questions that you probably have not thought of. I'm going to ask them very serious questions. Do you have a problem with pornography? You probably didn't ask them that. Right? I'm going to ask, why are you together? Right? And get down to it. And if they're afraid of that, then they may not be worthy of the relationship. Uh-oh.
Right? Number three. And this is kind of goes along with what I was saying. Bring somebody with you as a voice of reason in the relationship. Somebody that you can trust. Somebody who's going to tell you the truth. Not just pat you on the back and tell you how cute you guys look. Somebody say amen. All right, number four. Again, this is for people that are single, people that are dating. Know when to walk away.
Just because you've been together for a year don't mean you got to get married. Just because he met your mom and them and they really like him doesn't mean you got to get married. You got to know when to walk away. That means you got to notice the red flags. Anybody ever watch football and when there's something that goes wrong, they throw out a flag, right? Something really, really bad and they think it's really wrong. They throw out a red flag. You need to know what the flags are. That means a red flag is danger. And if you don't do something about this now, it's going to end up in a major, major heartbreak on the other side of marriage. And if you don't have somebody to ask you about that or to point that out to you, you are setting yourself up for destruction. Does that make sense? Everybody say amen. Amen. The last one is this kind of the way we started. Guard your heart. The Bible says, Proverbs 24, 23, guard your heart because out of it come the issues of life. This is really for everybody, whether you're single, whether you're married, whether you're dating. Everybody needs to guard their heart into a certain way and a certain degree. Because even if you're married, some people that are married, they idolize their spouse. They idolize them. They get their joy, their happiness, their peace, their validation, their significance in life. And if they violate that or if they let you down, you are mortally almost wounded. But you have to guard your heart and realize where you get your validation from, where you get your significance from, where you get your joy from, your peace from. Somebody say amen. You've got to guard your heart. Also, what that means, if you're beginning a relationship, you don't have to pour out everything to them. You don't have to give them everything. You guard your heart, because what happens if you let the deepest treasures in your life and you give it over to somebody else that hasn't earned or deserved that, you have made yourself vulnerable. And they may be somebody who doesn't have, they may not be in this thing for the same reason you're in this thing. And I'm trying to keep it from having a heartbreak. You know, I'm about to close, and I just have a few questions for you. You know, the goal, let me ask you this first. If Jesus Christ saved you, if he has rescued you from sin, if he has forgiven you, if he set you free, if he has a plan for your life, then don't you think he definitely has a plan for your relationships? Let me ask everybody else. Don't you definitely think he has a plan for your relationships? Then that means, I want you to think about it. This is everybody in the room. That means that if you're single, it also means that if you're dating, and it also means that if you're married, the goal is the same. The goal is to bring glory and honor to Jesus. There's marriages that fail because they don't bring honor to Jesus. Boyfriend and girlfriend relationships fail because they don't put Jesus first. There are people who are single that are horrible situations because they feel desperate, they feel lonely. They're putting so much validation in a relationship, they've lost joy, and it's because they haven't put Jesus in the middle. And I want to tell you right now, most relationships on this planet and many in the church look like this. The relationships between two people. And sooner or later, one is going to let the other down. Heartbreak is bound to happen. But today, Jesus is wanting to remind you, single, dating, or married, he needs to be right there beside you, right in the middle. Maybe you've forgotten that, or maybe you hadn't thought about that. But this is where he needs to be. There's this great scripture that says, it's better to put trust in the Lord than put confidence in man. That means everybody in this room is capable of letting you down. Mama, daddy, husband, wife, brother, sister, best friend, girlfriend, all of them are susceptible to letting you down, capable of letting you down, except for one. King of kings, Lord of lords. One who gives you significance and validation on this planet. Bring him in. It's really easy when you're in a relationship to ask this very simple question. Does this relationship bring honor to Jesus? It's really easy to answer that question. If you're married, ask yourself that. Does this marriage, is it bringing honor to Jesus right now? As a single person, is my singleness, is it bringing honor to Jesus? Clarifies a whole lot when you ask a question like that. Very simple. I want to pray for you. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you that you have not left us. You have not turned your back on us, especially in one of the most powerful things that you created, which is a relationship. God, I pray for those now who are single
and they don't want to be single. God, I pray that you would give them a peace and a hope and a joy that only comes from you. For those that are dating, God, I pray that they would put you square in the middle of that relationship. For those that are married, God, let them not forget that you are the sole reason, sole purpose of why they even exist. We thank you for that, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you are a part of our prayer team, you can come up. This is the kind of message that we want to stand with you in, because we understand that processing relationships can be hard. And Pastor Richard talked about having people that you invite into the process. And maybe you're in here this morning and you're thinking, I don't have anyone that can give me good relationship advice that can process with me. Well, we want to invite you to come and receive prayer and talk with someone this morning. Also, we'd like to ask our ushers. Their ushers are going to be in the back. If you have an offering or a connection card you would like to leave with us, you can drop it with them as you exit the sanctuary this morning. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. We do something here called First Step. If you've never had the opportunity to meet Pastor Richard, he's going to be in our Global Cafe just out the exit doors to the right. He would love to have an opportunity to meet you immediately after service today. And so, Bethel family, thank you so much for being with us. You are dismissed. We will see you next week.
Before my lips can meet.